Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leading Britain's conversation, LBC, with Nick Abbott.
Simon Marks is LBC's US correspondent and joins us now from Washington, D.C. Hello, Simon.
Evening, Nick.
So, if there wasn't a mass shooting in America yesterday, then it would have been an odd day, because there usually is a mass shooting being 4 or more people get shot. We only hear about the big and dramatic ones in this country, as I suspect is the case in America. They're so frequent that I bet it's just background noise now. The Democrats have plans on gun control reform. Are they likely to get that passed?
Well, I think it's still a very, very high bar. I mean, it was a curious week for President Biden last week, because it was supposed to be the week when his focus was going to be on inflation. But, of course, there was another mass shooting on Wednesday in Tulsa, Oklahoma. A disgruntled patient who didn't like the way his back surgery had worked out. And so, as you would, he went out and bought himself an AR-15 assault rifle, went to the hospital and hunted down the doctor in the hospital that had performed the surgery, killing him and 3 others before turning the gun on himself. So that then led to a presidential address to the nation, which brought together the shooting in Tulsa, plus, of course, the atrocity at the Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, and the supermarket, the racially motivated attack on the supermarket in Buffalo last month. And President Biden essentially laid out a plan. And what he wants, and these proposals are currently being considered in the House of Representatives, where Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House of Representatives, says she's determined to put them to a vote in the next few days. He's calling for a reintroduction of a ban on assault weapons that existed here between 1994 and 2004. But he knows that's never going to happen. So he immediately offered an alternative proposal, which is to raise the legal age at which you can buy an assault rifle from 18 to 21 nationally. He wants a ban on high-capacity magazines that can fire, you know, scores of bullets by the second and by the minute. He wants gun owners held criminally responsible if they don't safely store their weapons at home under lock and key. He wants to end the possibility of legally owned guns from falling into the hands of people who shouldn't be getting their hands on them simply because they've been left lying around the house. And he wants to codify a couple of existing restrictions that are already on the books, but they were executive orders, one of them signed by President Trump, which is a ban on bump stocks, which are these attachments that allow a semi-automatic rifle to use the recoil after you fire a shot to fire additional bullets. He wants that codified into federal law. And he also wants existing restrictions that he signed by executive order on ghost guns, these guns that are made from a kit of parts and they're untraceable because they don't have any serial numbers on them. He wants that codified into federal law. So the enormous question is he going to get any of this done? It's perfectly possible that because the Democrats have a working majority in the House of Representatives, a slim one, but a majority nonetheless, that they may be able to get those measures passed in the House. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if that happens, because the real problem is going to be in the Senate. To get any of this stuff onto his desk to be signed into law, he's got to have 60 of the 100 available votes. Things in the Senate don't get passed by a simple majority unless they are spending bills a couple of times a year. Everything needs 60 votes out of 100. and he's only got 50 Democrats, and they're not all on board with his gun control proposals. So, you know, anything that ends up happening, if anything ends up happening, is going to be dramatically diluted. You know, it is still a very high bar in terms of getting any of this stuff done because, as ever, of the power of the pro-gun lobby, the National Rifle Association, and those Americans who believe it is their constitutionally guaranteed right under the Second Amendment to bear arms, and they're not willing to entertain the idea of the vast majority of these restrictions because they see it as an infringement of their civil liberties.
That's a pretty thin brew, though, you've just described for us there, these policies that he's trying to get through. That's not going to make the slightest bit of difference. I bet the sales of assault weapons have gone through the roof just at the very idea that he might bring in some restrictions.
Yeah, absolutely. The New York Times actually published an analysis today of what the impact of these measures would have been, and they have shown that in around three dozen mass shooting incidents, they believe that they might have saved some lives. I mean, the assault weapons ban that was in force between 1994 and 2004 definitely saved some lives, not many, though. I mean, President Biden likes to say the rate of homicide dropped as a result of that homicide, that assault weapons ban. But if you look at the numbers, it barely dropped. And so the National Rifle Association takes the flip side and says, well, it had no impact whatsoever on mass shootings. But you're absolutely right. Very, very thin gruel. I mean, the idea that if you're 18 and you want to buy an assault weapon, you're going to be told you've got to wait another 3 years before you can go and do it. I mean, that is clearly not going to head off problems like the country witnessed in Tulsa only last week, where I believe the gunman was 68 and had no difficulty whatsoever acquiring an assault rifle in order to attack the hospital. So I think we're in a position where no matter how awful the event, and, you know, of all the recent events, you know, the shooting in Uvalde, 19 children aged between 8 and 10 and two of their teachers is the one that has most shocked the collective consciousness. Despite all of that, there's no indication that the tide is turning on Capitol Hill and he's going to be able to get it done.
And the Republicans' response to that was, well, what we need to do is arm the teachers. Have they also suggested now that we need to arm the doctors and the supermarket cashiers?
Well, interestingly, and I had not realised this until the attack on the hospital in Tulsa. I mean, we obviously talk a lot about school shootings in the United States, but apparently there are a substantial number of armed attacks on hospitals every year, and medical staff increasingly fearful about copycat incidents arising, for example, out of what took place in Tulsa last week. In Ohio last week, they did pass legislation that will allow teachers to carry weapons, to conceal carry, as they put it. So they'll have it, you know, tucked into their waistband as they're teaching the maths class, just in case there's any requirement to push back at a gunman who descends on a school. And if you listen to the proposals, for example, that Donald Trump and others at the National Rifle Association conference put forward last weekend, they are proposing to turn schools into armed encampments. I mean, Donald Trump argues that schools need to be safer and more secure than airports or government buildings. So he wants perimeter fences around all schools. He wants only one point of entry. Anybody arriving will need to be pre-screened at that point of entry by armed security guards and then not allowed onto campus, you know, much in the same way as you go through screening when you show up at, I did it last week, when you show up at the White House or when you try to gain access to a military base. That's their vision of the future for schools, because they argue that if you take guns away or restrict the access of guns to law-abiding Americans. In fact, that will lead to an increase in the homicide rate because they claim that there are about 1 million incidents a year of people using their own weapons to defend themselves when they come under attack in their home or in their workplace. But yes, absolutely, the sale. If you want to be in a surefire business over here, gun sales is the way to do it right now.
Yeah, and most of the people that are defending themselves find that it doesn't actually go like it does in the movies. And they're more likely to shoot themselves in their own feet than whoever it is that's trying to break in their house.
As indeed it didn't in Uvalde, when the police actually descended on the school. And, I mean, there was a completely botched response from a heavily armed police force that was unable to bring that situation under control. Now, the school didn't have an armed security guard on duty that day, but nonetheless, the arrival of police with substantial amounts of firepower also did not alleviate the problem.
Now, there's another doctor in the news, Dr. Oz. He's the chap that got the OK from Donald Trump. How did he fare?
Well, he's now officially won his primary contest to be the Republicans' Senate candidate this November in the state of Pennsylvania. Dr. Oz is literally a doctor off the telly. I mean, he was originally found by Oprah Winfrey, and he made appearances rather like Dr. Phil on Oprah's program, and then developed his own program, a nightly show that's syndicated here in the US, the Dr. Oz Show, in which he proffers medical advice on a variety of different issues.
Is he actually a doctor?
He's a thoracic surgeon.
Okay.
Originally from Turkey, lived in the United States for a long while, served in the Turkish army, still votes in Turkish elections, which has not been without controversy in parts of rural Pennsylvania. But when he entered the race, I mean, this is one race, and there are others that run counter to this, but this is one race that shows the power of Trump's endorsement. When he entered the race, he was nowhere. I mean, he didn't even have residence in Pennsylvania. People were accusing him of being a carpetbagger, you know, running in Pennsylvania, even though he had no major ties to the place. He had a raft of other candidates competing with him. And in the early polling, he was really running into tremendous difficulty, which all turned around after Donald Trump got behind him, not only endorsed him, but campaigned with him virtually in a variety of sort of town hall events. And the end result was very close. It took a couple of weeks for everybody to decide which way this had gone. But his prime opponent conceded defeat on Friday. And so the doctor now will be this thoracic surgeon, a heart surgeon, is going to be running against a Democrat candidate who, on the road to his primary, suffered some heart difficulties and actually had a couple of minor strokes. Says that he's going to stay in the race this November against Dr. Oz. And I think we're going to be in for some real fireworks in Pennsylvania because, you know, for the Republicans, were they able to win that seat along with other victories that they're eyeing in November's election. They, you know, it's a 50-50 Senate, so they could definitely start dreaming of retaking control of the Senate, which would be a monumental problem for Joe Biden, the back half of what Joe Biden still hopes will be his first term in office.
Just finally, the petrol prices or gas prices in the States are going through the roof, presumably just as they are in this country. What is Biden doing about that?
Well, he's had a very difficult weekend here because as of Saturday, the average price nationally of a gallon of petrol in the United States was twice the level that it was on the day Joe Biden was inaugurated. So, I mean, I went out this afternoon and paid $4.82 a gallon for petrol, and that is literally twice the level that things were at when Biden came in. Now, it's still cheaper than petrol in the United Kingdom, but in American terms, this is, I mean, I was talking to people last night at an event here in town. It's the only subject on people's lips. When is something going to be done about this? And what we think Joe Biden might be about to do about this is head to Saudi Arabia. The air was thick last week with speculation that he might even travel to Saudi Arabia this month, although it now seems that they're putting that off by at least a month because of the furious reaction that has created, arising from, first of all, the possibility of Joe Biden sitting down with Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, the man US intelligence claims orchestrated the murder and dismemberment of the Saudi American journalist Jamal Khashoggi in the Saudi consulate in Istanbul. But he's also had a lot of pushback from 9/11 families who say, well, hang on a second, you're the president who authorized the dissemination publicly of intelligence showing ties between Saudi officials and the 9/11 hijackers. You can't possibly go to Saudi Arabia with your hat in your hand asking them to give you more oil unless you're seriously going to haul them over the coals over what happened on 9/11. So they find themselves in a very difficult spot at the White House. He's got to find a way of generating more oil being drilled by the Saudis and by other controversial producers, including the Venezuelans, so that it brings the price down here and improves the electoral prospects for Democrats in November. But the cost to him of going to Saudi Arabia and not, holding their feet to the fire over a whole bunch of other issues that exist will also be substantial here. So he's between a rock and a hard place on it.
Thanks very much, Simon. Good to talk to you.
Cheers, Nick.
Simon Marks, LBC's US correspondent, joining us from Washington, D.C.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.